This is Filter Optional. I am Chico West, and I am the No Filter, and this is a Casa Kalina production. Casa Kalina is a residential treatment center, and our mission is to equip men and their families with the tools to achieve a lifetime of freedom and sobriety. With my wife, Shannon, the Filter, we discuss topics that allow people and their families to not just survive, but to thrive. Join us as we dig deep into everyday topics. Hello, Shannon. We're back.
Yes, we are, Chico. You've got a little cough there.
It's not really a cough. I've had a crazy...
You know, people could think it was...
Corona.
The COVID. But it is not.
But before we get into what, you know, what I did this week, we got a guest in the studio with us that's not going to talk, hopefully. He might, but he won't. It's our 95-pound white lab named Blue.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish I could put him on camera.
Oh, no, yes. That's okay. He's going to
But Kevin, thank you for letting us bring Blue in. We thought we'd bring Blue in on this.
He doesn't get out much like everybody else.
Yes, on this on this Friday. And right now, it looks like we are good owners of a dog because he's sitting right at my feet. If you could see it, it's nice. And Kevin goes, wow, he's well trained.
It's like he knows we're doing
yes.
a show.
Yes.
Well.
So let's see how it goes. So if you're watching us and the camera gets knocked around, it's because of our 95-pound dog.
Well, let's hope that just doesn't happen. But so, Chico, you know.
But I was going to say, Kevin, the reason we didn't come in this week on Monday, we missed Monday's show, was because I had a little day surgery. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. Hope everything's all right.
Yes, it's been a little painful. It's got me to definitely rest because I couldn't do anything. I had a 7-millimeter kidney stone that needed to be removed.
Judging from your emphasis on the size, I'm guessing that's pretty big.
Well, if you think about it, the guy who owns this building that we're doing this in, he told his son-in-law, he called him Glock. Because his son-in-law, I found out, had a 9-millimeter kidney stone. So, like the 9-millimeter gun.
Oh, yeah, like a 9-millimeter bullet.
Yeah, so mine was just too shy of a 9-millimeter bullet. But it has been painful.
It was too large to pass, and they finally said, you got to come in, and we got to blast it up, and then you can pass the particles. Oof. So
yeah. Still doesn't sound pleasant.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
No, it does not. And I'm going to go even in a little more detail. For this show, it's called laserstropic, you know, surgery, where they go in, they laser it with little beams or, you know, radio
things.
For
any of you doctors listening, I mean, you know, I'm sorry.
I just jacked it up, but it breaks it up. But, you know, they knocked me out completely. I was completely knocked out. And with all this COVID, you didn't get to go to the hospital or anything like that. But they knocked it out completely. And before they knocked it out, Dr. Foljam, who I like, he's pretty conservative. We took a conservative route for several months before deciding to do this. He goes, I didn't even tell you this, Shannon. I go, okay, doc, I'm all right with you blasting it, doing all that, but I do not want the stent put up in my kidneys. Because I did a little research, and it's a stent that goes all the way up in the kidneys, and it has like a little parachute thing that grabs it. And I had to have it sit in there since Monday. And there was a piece of like string hanging out of my wee-wee.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yes. And so.
So you did have to have that?
Yes.
Oh, that's brutal.
And this morning I went to him and he pulled it out. So I've had.
Anyway, we've had a lot of together time on top of our already together time because I've had to drive him around, and he's been in pain, and he's,
I keep thinking about when Travis had his, wisdom teeth out.
Yes.
And how he said, mad pain.
Yes, he said, I'm in mad pain.
I like that description, because yes. I've been in mad pain.
Yes.
Well, that raises the question, because I know you got 31 years of sobriety. Do you still take pain medicine and stuff?
Okay, that's a good...
That would be hard to get through, man.
That's a great question.
Great question. And so, you know, if you're wise and the doctors prescribe it, and I did and
well, if
have
you tell
taken
the doctors. You
yeah,
say,
I told the doc up front, you know, about, you know, my recovery in 31 years, and I gave Shannon the meds. But on Tuesday night, I was in such pain by taking them as prescribed. You know, he prescribed yes. me. I said, Doc, I cannot sleep. I can't do anything. And he goes, well, you can take more than what's prescribed. I go, don't tell me that.
Right. You know, right. I mean,
that's sending the wrong message.
Eat that whole
and
damn
I said,
bob.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, if more is better, I'm going to take it all. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I mean, that's the way. There is no moderation in Chico's, you know, world. No.
But that's such a level of discomfort. I just can't imagine
it is. So
being able to do it without
so
that.
I have
so we've monitored
Shannon,
it. That's why I've been driving him around. It's like driving Miss Daisy. I've been so, taking him gotcha. On all these little
and
errands.
I'm trying to push it out. It says every 4 hours. And I did this morning. I pushed it to 5. And I really wanted to check myself into the hospital until
he was
I,
in so much pain.
I mean, it's like where you want to throw up and from the pain or even pass out.
I very rarely have I experienced that, but I know what you're talking about. I mean, it's.
But right now, I have Shannon's driving me, and I do not have the pain in my kidney. And so
I know. So that's very good. You're on the mend and you're getting better. But you know, it's led to some discussions about, you know, what does kind of. I mean, obviously, we're living in a time of high stress and anxiety for everyone. And it's like, I looked back, Kevin, at the episode that we did on restlessness and how everybody's restless, although we had one person, remember, that said she was never restless.
Never
and,
worries.
Yeah. Never worries and was never restless. But and so I'd love to ask her now if she's feeling a little restless about anything. But that was on January 20th. Okay, so that was obviously before.
Right, before everything blew up.
And if you're feeling that way, if you're feeling restless or anxiety or stress or anything like that in a normal world, then, you know, those stressors are going to cause you to start to think about, you know, sobriety. I mean, if you're an addict and like what you turn to. And so Chico and I have had lots of discussions about, I think we're going to talk about the three things that I hear
RID.
You all RID, RID, but
restless, irritable, discontent.
Okay, wait. Just let me say, because I hear you on the phone so much, I hear one-sided conversations from Chico, but he's either talking to a potential client or the parents or, you know, someone, a family member of someone that needs treatment. And it's just over and over. And it's like a tape for me now. It's like, he's like, I hear him say, well, he's just restless, irritable, and discontent. And then you hear the aha of the other side saying, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I mean that he is restless, irritable, and discontent, and he is
and
turning
solution,
to his solution.
His medicator.
Medicator is, you know, drugs or alcohol right now. And so we've even seen it now over COVID with our own children. They aren't labeled addicts at this point. We hope that our 17-year-old isn't like using
probably,
you know,
not
on a regular basis or even drinking. I mean, I'm sure he has, and you know, but they are restless, irritable, and discontent as children. I'm restless, irritable, and discontent, and at this point in this whole thing, I mean, I have the big case of the effets. Like, I am.
You know what I call that?
God,
also,
me too.
The efforts. I call that, and that's just one thing. Is like when people say effort and do that. A lot of times that's the addict or the alcoholic national flag. You raise that flag. You know,
right.
I'm not saying you're an addict or
no,
Kevin
I know you're not. But you could get real confused as to if you're crossing over to some really unhealthy behaviors and addict behavior, even as a normie, which is a term that is also used in the recovery world for people like me that is not a substance abuse addict. I mean, I might be a codependent and all that stuff, but
The efforts are huge right now, though. I mean, I've done it with everything.
With
diet, with money, with alcohol, with everything.
Yes,
I'm like, whatever, you know.
And I finally got...
I like that you say money, because we've had some money conversations.
Yeah, no, and Chico's like, you can't keep spending money like this. And I'm like... People only take credit cards. And when I order from the grocery store, I have to order online and you pay a little bit of a fee, whatever. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, F it, I have a credit card. Like,
yes,
I'm just charging it. Like, F it.
Especially at Christmas, all the stress, I'm like, F it. You know,
yeah,
put it on my MX.
That's
whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And say, Kevin, you're kind of newly married, you know, but for a long time, we still do after 25 years. But I'm a cash guy. And the crazy thing for the both of us, if we go to the grocery store, with $200, we're only going to spend $200.
Well, that's usually...
You have a credit card, you might spend three.
Absolutely.
It's just the little
thing.
Your impulse shopping goes way up.
Well, and for 25 years of marriage, that is just how we set up our system. Everybody has a different system. Some people have separate checking account, whatever. That is everyone's business, how they set up their system. But we have always had envelopes with cash in them. Like, and if you run out of money, you're out of money. I mean, obviously, you can go get some more, you know, but it was a good governor
Definitely.
For me. And so I told him, I was like, you know what? And I get the credit card bill now and I open it up and I'm like, well, F it. I mean, I don't know what to do.
Exactly.
I just pay it and then, you know, whatever. So. But let
me just read the definition. I like Webster's definition of restlessness. Okay.
Okay.
I think you can expand on this.
Okay.
Is feeling the need to constantly move, being unable to calm your mind, or a combination of the two.
Right.
You know,
yes.
So when we say restlessness, that's everybody.
It is everybody. And then I was able to spend some time with some good friends at doing a kind of a holiday thing that we do every year. It's a My Favorite Things party, which I think a lot of people do right now, where you go
kind of an Oprah deal.
Well, you kind of go buy your favorite. You buy three of your favorite things, and it's really nine of us. But nine of us couldn't even get together because several had COVID issues. Some, you know, whatever. We were all real careful. But you buy three of your favorite things, and then you draw names, and then everybody exchanges them, and then everybody's on Amazon buying everybody else's favorite thing. It's really fun. But most of the favorite things this year, because you do it for the year, kind of what has been your favorite thing, were like, I mean, I hate to even call it self-help stuff, because I used to be so turned off by the whole self-help,
because that's what
label.
I do for a living.
I know, but I just used to be turned off by the self-help label. But I mean, it was like one was a book about meditation and how to meditate and, you know, really embrace that. And then you know, I took a book about my
codependency.
The language of letting go is what it's called, and it's a devotional. So it's every day a little reading about letting go and not being anxious and codependent. And then people had cozy socks, like just whatever. I mean, one was bath, you know, Epsom salts, bath salts, like that's their favorite thing. But the common theme this year was kind of an action plan for 2021 in my mind. Like, I'm like, this is an action plan. I need to incorporate all of these favorite things in order to move forward in 2021 because I'm so restless. And it leads to irritability and discontentment, obviously.
And if you think back about the definition, you know, is the feeling the need to constantly move, being unable to calm your mind? You know, I think back during this whole COVID deal, and you can go back and listen to some old episodes of us and stuff like that. And we talked about meditation and we talked about those things. And, you know, Travis came home from Texas because they sent everybody home. You know, people started doing a lot more family dinners, which was great.
You're talking about in March, yeah.
Back in March and in April.
He went back in June.
Yes.
You know, I mean.
And, you know, people got, you know, creative and stuff like that, but now it's like,
well, there was an energy behind it. There was an energy about, like, we're gonna save the world, we're gonna do our part, we're gonna help out. And then I totally, as far as weight and food, I completely did not nail COVID. Like, I could have lost so much weight. I didn't do that though. You walked and you kind of, you know, you started incorporating that and then that fell off. But I think for everybody, however they approached it, things have just fallen off. Now it's just like, F it. I needed an action plan.
Like, yeah. And so when we talk about restlessness, it's like, you know, that constantly move or unable to calm the mind. I found for me, I'm restless and you know, I'm going to say it. I'm restless with the fucking shit happening of the cover up through the media and stuff like that. I'm losing it, you know, with the media covering up the Hunter Biden and now it's all getting exposed.
Okay. Well, you're restless with the media.
I'm restless that they're not, you know, in the hypocrisy. And that's the thing too, is people are restless with the hypocrisy.
Yes.
The hypocrisy of the leaders, the hypocrisy of, you know, hey, do this, but don't do that.
But
you
here's
know,
the thing, if you're vulnerable, if you're vulnerable to that, like if that is what's activating you and you're vulnerable to that, then you need an action plan about what, because the media is not going away. So, you know, we've talked about taking like news diets, you know.
And so if you look at it as like, I'm restless, I see that.
Because
the
news isn't bothering me so much.
And then I start to get irritable.
Yes.
You know, and I'm just coming here and exposing this stuff. It is what it is.
Exactly.
And so it's like, I have my beliefs, but it's like, I struggle because I believe, I don't know if this is true, that my beliefs are wrong because I'm looking at other people's beliefs and I think their beliefs are wrong.
Well,
and so it's this vicious cycle and it's this
of judgment and,
yes.
And seemingly hypocrisy. Because I said to one of my friends recently, because for me, what activates me right now is this college football stuff and some other things, and I say that not because of playing or not playing, but the fact that I again might have to spend another holiday without my oldest child because the football team owns him right now in so many ways, because he has to remain there and be tested every morning. And I get it. It is for the safety of everyone around them, but it's not the football teams that have been spreading this stuff.
But
truly.
If you pause real quick, Shannon.
They're the ones that have been so careful.
And
but
people don't realize this. It's like, man, for us, this is our...
Can I just finish real quick?
What?
Okay,
no,
go
wait,
ahead.
Wait. I'm going to add to it because I just want you to...
Okay.
I want people to hear it.
It's not about that in football and stuff like that.
It's like before COVID... We could be down in Austin, you know, be with the other parents and the athletes at the hotel celebrating.
Oh, sure.
And so, yes, there's a sacrifice. But now Travis on Thanksgiving night was by himself in the hotel room.
Yes.
You know, for the next day.
Having a meal delivered to
his
room.
Thanksgiving. Yes.
They didn't get to eat together.
Yeah. Instead of this sense of community, and we need that connectedness.
Yes.
And there's that discontent.
Well, I'm getting to the point to where I'm like, it's my choice if I choose to be around him. You know, it's not their choice to lock him down and say, no, you have to stay in Austin. And then, you know, you don't have a football game, but you have to stay here because we're testing you every morning. I mean, he's getting tested every morning, every morning. Like, and then here we are going about our business, you know, being careful, being, you know, responsible because of your business, because of Beck. And Beck's football season ended last night. I'm sorry to say, but they were 7-3. They got 10 games in, including a playoff game. It's so awesome. But it's my choice if I have Travis in my house over the holidays, not theirs. But because of all the optics and the world, the way the world's going, it's like, I don't know. So I'm just saying that those are the things that are causing me to be restless because I can't plan my Christmas.
No, we can't.
I can't plan.
And the deal is that, and if you go...
So then I'm irritable.
And then when you look at disconnect, you know... disconnectedness or stuff like that is dissatisfied, especially with one's circumstances.
Right.
Not connected.
Right.
separated or detached. And so if you think about that out of the RID, I think that's the one that most of us in our country and our world are feeling, you know, especially with one circumstances, not connected.
Yeah.
You know, and so then...
And you know how they tell you not to make big life decisions during times of stress or when you're impaired. So if you're drunk, you know, every night, which I say that kind of tongue in cheek, like, I mean, you know, if you're impaired... more than not during this time. I don't mean to laugh about it, but
a lot of people
you shouldn't
are.
Be making big choices. I mean, I think I'm kind of laughing because I think our 21-year-old son in Austin is, you know, playing a lot more video games because he's restless, irritable, and discontent. So he starts playing video games and then he grabs a drink and he has some drinks and then he's, and then it's just this spiral of like, you know, don't make big choices. And then he's like, then he's down and he's like, well, I just want to, you know, just F it. I'm just, maybe I should just quit football. Maybe I should just, you know, I mean, I'm like, don't quit school. Wait, hold on. Like, don't make any big decisions right now.
But
because,
and he, you know, but he has the F it's today. I met with a couple, guy came through CASA, he and his wife, and you know, Sean, my operations guy, picked up another guy from detox. So this guy that just completed CASA is 46 years old with two kids, married. You know, Sean picked up a 44-year-old, and I like that they met real quick. And what he said was, man, it's wild. It's like there's a lot of guys our age that their alcoholism is really getting exposed because, man, we have that disconnectedness. We don't feel connected. We're not at work. You know, a lot of us are doing virtual work. You know, so what do we go to? We go to the bottle.
Right.
And so, you know, but yes, we're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, alcoholism and stuff like that, but we're not even talking about alcoholism.
No,
we're talking about everybody.
Regardless of if you happen to not be an alcoholic, I don't happen to be an alcoholic, I don't think.
No.
But this, I'm sorry, this is unprecedented times, you know, if you want to hear that again. It's unprecedented times where we all need an action plan. The people that come through CASA have an action plan. I mean, the families have set it up or they've set it up. They've said, I need help. They have admitted they needed help. And they have signed up, I guess, for the action plan. Like, here is this plan that we put in place, the program at Casa Kalina. You put this program in place to help them heal. And get away from the restlessness, irritability, and the discontentment, and then you can recognize it when you get away from it. But, I need an action plan.
Well, and so before we even can come up with an action plan, Shannon, is I like what you're saying is, like what I was saying is I'm restless, irritable, discontent with the media, with how it's so
slanted. Well, it's amped up with your pain too.
Yes.
You've been in
pain.
And so
COVID,
stress.
All that. And so we're not just talking about alcoholics. It's like, first we got to recognize, what am I restless, irritable, discontent about?
Right.
I can tell you today I'm restless, irritable, discontent because I've been at home all week and I've been watching the news.
I'm fully aware that you've been home
I've
all week.
Seen that, you know, Hunter Biden, you know, they've been doing, you know, he's been under investigation since 2018 and they've covered that shit up. You know, and that just fires me up.
I know. See, I can tell clearly.
You know, and so it's like,
talk about it, but
yeah.
So you do have to figure out what makes you
before you can have an action plan.
Right. Correct.
And so for me, one of my action plan was, I was excited about this episode because I go, hey,
Stop watching TV.
I got a platform and I can share it and I'm going to leave here and it's going to be done. But people are going to know where I stand, you know, with the hypocrisy and stuff like that. And so I'm going to let go of it. I'm not going to be, you know, worrying about it anymore.
Because you're on drugs.
Because we can't.
I told you not to make any big choices or statements.
Yes.
Oh, good gosh.
And so, but the deal is, when we're restless, irritable, discontent, it creates anxiety.
Yes.
You know, and I go back to when we did that episode, you know, on restlessness, you know, almost a year ago. And Kevin goes, oh, I know someone that says they're not restless. And I go, really? She doesn't have the feeling to constantly move, because she seems like someone that's constantly moving.
Right.
You know, or being able to calm her mind because it's always running.
Well, it's people just not recognizing it in themselves, or thinking it means something different.
Yes. That's why I wanted to read those definitions.
It means something different. And it means that, I mean, I think people think it means that you're not content. And I remember in that episode that I think a lot of people, especially spiritual people, you know, Christian or, you know, whatever they're, if they have a big spiritual life, they don't want to admit that they might be restless, because that means they are discontent eventually. And we're supposed to be content with what we have. According to my beliefs, my Christian beliefs, Jesus provides everything that I need, and God provides, and I don't need to feel restlessness, because that goes against the Bible. It says, be not anxious about anything.
Well, let me read those two verses. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
But I don't say it, don't be anxious. You know, it does. It says, do not be anxious about anything. But it's saying, if you are anxious, I think is what it's saying, then present your request to God with thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, do those things. You know, and so that, you know, that's that place that we... that we're gonna, you know, we're gonna wrestle with. But the cool thing is, I going back to you spending time with your girlfriends, and stuff like that, is you don't need to worry about him. You're getting anxious right now.
I am. The dog is roaming. Sorry.
Yes.
Sit. Yeah. Blue, sit.
Yes.
Sit.
Blue. Sit. Sit. Lay down.
Good boy.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. But right there, that is a good example. We can get anxious about things that, you know, we're not in too much control about. But going back to your time with your girlfriends about your favorite things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I love that the favorite things were a lot of meditation and learning how to calm yourself and take care of yourself.
Well, it said to me that maybe we are learning some things. There are some silver linings. Maybe we have been brought to the point of disaster. We've just been brought to the point of something has to give. And that was encouraging to see, because usually it's things that are more, sorry, the dog. Anyway, so usually it is things that are more shallow.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah,
and this was just a much deeper thing.
Shallow or materialistic, because we
get materialistic, busy. Yeah, right.
You know, getting busy, we've had time to go, man, there is a lot of restlessness.
Or things uncertainty. That helped us be more productive. Like, there were a lot of things that were like, oh, this makes your life so much easier, when now we've been shut off from that life anyway. And so, anyway, the way that life looks easier is different, if that makes sense. I don't know, but...
I think
so
too.
It was just a good analogy.
But right there, it's like going back to what you're saying is, okay, we first have to recognize what we're restless, irritable, discontent about, where we feel the need to be constantly moving. You know, first examine how come you feel this need to be constantly moving. Find something else. Going back to those episodes when we first started this podcast, not when we started, but when we were talking about the pandemic,
yeah.
You know, take time, do those walks, do stuff like that.
And that's really been hard for me lately, because you've been able to, you go play golf, and now, I mean, in Dallas County, things got amped up again. And so there just isn't much to do. And I don't mean to sound like complete Debbie Downer or too negative about that, but I mean, we can't go to movies. We can't. And I feel terrible for all these businesses, but there's just not much to do. And you get to go play golf, and then I do end up loathing a little bit in self-pity and being at home and being like, what am I going to do next?
Well, and so if you
Why can't I just do something? I just want to go do something.
And that's where we got to get creative. Oh, you know, we got to get creative. And so right there is like Blue just knocked your camera.
Yeah.
And so
he's fixing it.
He and Kevin's doing a good job.
Sit.
But I like this episode because we're all going to be restless, irritable, discontent. I did this. I talked about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind years ago to the elders at our church. And I love, because they were trying to understand addiction and stuff like that. And I went through the whole cycle of addiction. And I love that those elders, and made me more excited about our church. They go, we're all restless, irritable, discontent.
Right, right.
They go, at least we, you know, our medicator isn't, you know, our medicators might be trying to control our family or control our circumstances or stuff like that, but it's not a substance. And so they had a lot more compassion for the person struggling with addiction.
Which is why, that was another thing that I said, is that, you know, we need an action plan for all this, but we also need to find within ourselves grace for others. And that's really hard. I mean, especially like with you, with your stressors right now, the media and everything, like, I mean, you know, it would be easy for you to not have grace towards newscasters. Is that fair?
Or liberals. You know, I'll just put it out there. I need to have grace and mercy towards liberals.
I know, and I just, we've got to, you know, figure out a way to have an action plan for ourselves so that we aren't restless, irritable, and discontent. And how can we?
Yeah, because it's my stuff. It's not
because
theirs.
Then it comes out.
Sideways.
Inside, yeah. From the inside out, we will be better people.
Yeah, and I'll be able to calm myself. I'll be able to get connected. And so find that connectedness. You know, find that connectedness, you know, and that is key. I like this episode today. You know, Kevin, I'm glad you got to, you know, make it available for us.
Yeah,
we
me too.
Love Kevin. If you ever want to do a podcast,
come do it
with Kevin.
I know, you know.
But this was a good show. Thank you, Shannon. Now we got to come up with what we're going to eat. That'll get us something to do.
All right, right, right.
All right.
I don't want to make a bad choice.
Peace out.